It was a big night last night over at the Adelaide Oval. Port Adelaide took on the Geelong Footy Club. And the Geelong Footy Club, at one stage, were down 21 points, but just motored home. It was a high-quality game of footy. Mm. There was a nice contrast in styles early. The ones that wanted to go quick and the others that are a bit more measured when it's is warranted. And Geelong have prevailed. So they get their team together. They get their big guns back. Rowan and Cameron and Hawkins were outstanding in the middle of the ground.
Duncan back yesterday.
It was just even across the board. I'm looking at the numbers. There wasn't a big, one player only had over 20 touches. It's just a nice even performance. And this is a Port Adelaide side who, when they're going, they look fantastic. They're impressive when they move in the footy quickly and they're able to get out the back of Geelong. But the reality is they've failed again against the top eight side.
You spoke about Geelong yesterday and you said that why isn't anyone talking about them? They're 8-3. They had a great record. They haven't been playing that well, but they've still been winning. They've added Cameron and Smith and also Higgins to the side, and Dangerfield was back yesterday. Did you see something about them last night in the first half of football that said to you that they are going to be better than they were last year and they can win the flag this year?
Well, you have to say that their scoring power has been exponentially improved with the addition of Jeremy Cameron. And Jeremy Cameron's an elite operator. He's an elite key forward of the competition. Mm. And you've thrown him in with probably the best key forward of the competition in the past 10 years. So it stands to reason. And then as a result of that, Rowan becomes a floater. Like Rowan, I know he gets highly criticised, Gary Rowan. Gary Rowan's a nightmare matchup for any opposition coach and defence. So all of a sudden now he becomes a third matchup. So look, I think if they can keep these three together, obviously, their midfield, they get Dangerfield and Duncan back into the side. I think they've done so beautifully well to be, 9 wins and 3 losses. And they haven't really, save for maybe one or two occasions, had their best side available.
Do you know who I actually think is the best addition to their team, though? I know that you're speaking about Cameron and you always talk about the key forwards, but Smith, for me, is the best addition to their team of those three because of the way that he plays. And he's been doing it for years and years, and all the Hawthorn fans know exactly what we're talking about here. His ability to get up and down the ground, get back to be part of the defensive unit, block the ball, get a possession in the midfield. He chips the ball well. He uses his left foot intelligently. He knows when to go. He knows when not to go. He knows when to kick the ball, where to kick the ball. Yeah. He's such an intelligent player, and he's the type of player that Geelong hasn't had in their midfield mix.
Yep. No, he's been a great addition. I don't think he's more important. I think Geelong...
Awesome. Let's go with the big forwards.
I think Geelong could win a premiership without Isaac Smith. I don't think they could win one without Jeremy Cameron.
We can differ.
But that's
we
not can the differ same. Anyway, that's pedantic. I mean, he's...
And they've got Cam Guthrie still to come back into the side.
Cam Guthrie to come back in as well. Their best player for the year.
So they are well equipped. Did you see anything last night? And I know you only watched to halftime, but did you see anything that worried you then about Port Adelaide's inability to be able to mix it in some ways? And we're talking about the pointy end here of the competition, so the very best.
Yeah. Well, it's when the game's on their terms, and this is what happens with all teams when they get to this really elite level, is when it's on their terms, they look so damaging and so potent. They're able to get behind this Geelong defence. But when some heat and some pressure came, then they weren't able to move the ball with the fluency that they did when they're kicking goals. And then that's when they start to get into a little bit of trouble. They lose their structure. They get offside. Mm. Geelong win the footy back on turnover. And how many times did you see Geelong players running into their forward 50 without Port Adelaide, their defence structured up and set up like that? So
They broke down a number of times, didn't they?
Yeah, and on turnover particularly, it's always going to be – it's a great indicator on how you set your side up. If you can protect your back half on turnover, that means you've got great structure and, people talk about what's it look behind the ball, and that's when they sort of got exposed in the end.
If you watched the game last night, give us a call and tell us what you thought. The other thing about Geelong was Radaglia playing in the ruck. You know what I love most about him and is his follow-on work. Like the ruckman that contests and then hits the ground and then participates in the next passage of play or the passage of play after that. Mm. He's as athletic as any of the ruckmen going around at the moment. Yeah. Now, I know they haven't sort of – he hasn't been necessarily the clear number one choice.
No.
But I reckon they're starting to think along those lines now. That's probably our best side is him in the ruck for us.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I think Chris Scott has alluded to that, you know, over time, over the past 18 months, that he's in our best 22, and we want Sav in, and we want to get him to have a good run at it uninterrupted. So they may be arriving at that point. Blitzars, you know, you talk about Smith. You know, I watch Blitzars at times when they're under pressure, and his ability to run from one end to the other and protect the back half like Isaac Smith was, you know, profound. So that maybe they're happy. Maybe they can get by with Blitzars and Radagalia. I mean, he didn't. What a freakish player Mark Blitzars is.
Yeah, his ability to be able to do so many different things and fill so many different roles for them. There's an interesting article in The Age this morning. Wayne Carey has written it. Obviously, one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
Can you hold that? Yeah, go. Sorry.
A North Melbourne superstar. He's written an article about the fact that the North Melbourne, the Kangaroos, should make a godfather offer to Harry Mackay. A godfather offer. What he's saying is they should offer him so much money over so many years that it has to turn his head and his manager's head, and it is going to put enormous pressure on Carlton to keep him.
Mm. He's saying that his manager would be using the Williams money and the Saad money and the McGovern money as a starting point. So you go, okay, you're paying them this. Then our man, my man, the manager's man, in this case Harry, is worth this. And he's saying 1 to 1.2 a year, not out of the question. He says clearly he's not worth that. I mean, he's not, but that's what sometimes you've got to pay to move someone. Mm. And well, A, get their attention, and B, then move them out of the joint. Then he speaks to the fact that it's the family connection, because Ben's just recommitted to North Melbourne in recent times, and also points to the fact that you can walk him through the pre-season draft and get him for nothing.
Yeah.
Zilch, zip, nada. Keep your first round pick. If in fact, no, they won't finish last, North Melbourne.
All this is what Carlton would have been dealing with in the background already. I mean, they know that there are other clubs out there that would love Carlton to be able to secure the services of Harry Mackay.
Okay? And they've said all along that they've got room in the salary cap to be able to facilitate him and another big name player.
Yes, to a point though.
Right.
Like, there is a point, isn't there? The deal that might be on the table from North Melbourne, it may be something that they look very closely at. And the other part about that is, though, that he's already entrenched at Carlton.
Mm.
For what we know and hear, he loves the club. He's happy there. He's comfortable there. They're going through some moments there at the moment about the direction the football club may take at the end of this year.
Yep.
Their coaching thing is up in the air a little bit. He might just want to know, okay, how is all that going to settle before I commit to staying here at Carlton?
I think that's a really good question. But other clubs will see that as a vulnerability to strike now while there is this, if there is uncertainty around that footy club, and if, you know, maybe you can move the needle a bit more because of the circumstances. Someone says off the temper text, why make the crazy offer to spite the other club and drive up the player's worth when it may not be deserved? Well, that's going to happen all the time. That just happens. Sometimes it's a double-edged sword. They want the player desperately, so they're prepared to pay overs, but if they don't, then it's going to make the existing club feel the pain of having to match or come close to it. So clubs do that all the time.
And on the other side of the equation, why would he go to North Melbourne too, where they're at right now?
Yeah, well, that's another good question.
He may not be convinced about their future.
No, well, I think that's probably the greatest challenge, I would think. It'd be nice to play with your brother, but he'd be looking at Carlton. You know, it's a big, well, it's not right now, but arguably it's a big footy club, and the Kangas over there who, you know, box above their weight and work hard and have been much admired over the journey. He might just sit there and go, no, not for me. Mick's in Hastings. G'day, Mick.
Hey, boys, you're on fire again today.
G'day, Mick.
Listen, that game last night after half-time, Geelong just, really, they just played with them because they got to the lead, Port Adelaide, a couple of times, and then Geelong just said, nah, not having that, and took off. But one man I haven't heard you mention too much, which is a massive difference to that team, old Paddy Dangerfield, He was back to his old self in that last quarter.
Oh, well, that's good. I'll catch up with that today. So that's good to see. Any player that's coming back off the layoff that Patrick had is entitled to ease their way back into it. Important is, so I'm a massive fan. The other one I'm a huge fan of is Mitch Duncan. He is a beautiful footballer, that bloke.
Mm.
Underrated still, do you think?
No, I don't think that he's underrated now. I think he was for...
Not agreeing with much today.
No, we're in different camps today. But I don't think he is underrated now. I think there was a period of time where he was, but he's a very good midfielder. I thought they looked more powerful around the ball And for most of the first half, I thought they looked more powerful around the ball. When Port broke and they opened up the play and they moved the ball and the angles and that type of thing, and they worked really and they worked and quickly, I thought it troubled Geelong.
What about the
fact- But I didn't think that they were able to actually out-muscle them around the contest.
What about the fact that they went to Boak and tagged him early? I thought he did a fantastic job again coming back into that side. And that hasn't happened too often. I mean, the tagger, I'm not saying the tagger's back in form, but Mark O'Connor went to him at the start, the very opening bounce, kept him to 8 touches at halftime. You talk about his presence and strength around the footy. Then a bit falls under the shoulders of Ollie Wines, obviously, who was pretty good. Robbie Gray did his job. But, I thought O'Connor was real, well, certainly in the first half. I mean, Boakey had 10 in the third, I see, so he dealt with that after half time.
So do you think Geelong had become a real role-playing type team?
I think so. Well,
Dalhouse, the reason they keep Dalhouse is because he plays that role. That role the way that they want. They don't get a lot of the ball. They don't kick a lot of goals, but they play that role.
I'll tell you what else they do, is their defenders run hard, aggressively forward with impunity.
Did that many times.
They've got the license to go forward and not look back. So they must have, and this is where Blitzarves and Smith and all those players must, when they see these guys, you watch in the start of that game, Henderson and Tui particularly. They push hard aggressively forward. That's a hard thing to counter. They've got the mechanisms in place to cover themselves if they get hit on turnover.
That's a good call off the text too. Jack Henry, hugely improved player. He's good in the air, isn't he?
Yeah, very good athlete. Great athlete. A mixing Clyde North. G'day, Mick.
How you going, boys? A couple of those people have stolen me thunder. But 3 points. Jack Henry, really good game. Number two, the forward entry by Port Adelaide was really woeful. They just bombed it in, and the big fella, Charlie Dixon, had like 3 blokes on him most of the night. You can see I was waiting for him to deck someone. He was that close to it, I reckon. No other forwards from Port Adelaide helped him out at all, give him a block, give him a chop, do anything. And they mongrel the ball. How many times they switch play with a soft, really late kick and see Geelong come swoop over the top every time?
Yeah, well, they lost Marshall early, which made it difficult. Marshall got knocked out in the first probably 3 or 4 minutes, which meant their preference is Dixon, Marshall, Georgiades, supported by Rosie and others. Yeah. So they lost him. So that made it different. But he marked the footy really well in the first half. He's had issues against Geelong in recent times, Big Charlie, but his mitts were working early. What about Rosie's 4 goals in the first quarter?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What about the goal from Farrell?
Yes.
Just explain how you can actually kick that.
So I kicked the left foot banana on the right forward pocket, which should, by the laws of physics, rotate away from the goal face.
And it came back the other way.
It started to sort of go away, and then as it's lost its trajectory, the rotation brought it back through the middle of the goals. It was an incredible, incredible goal.
How many times did you do something like that?
Never.
A couple of times a quarter?
Never, never, never. There's a very good call from, I think it might have been the Duke, who said, if that was Eddie Betts, we'd still be talking about that today. So that's got to be a contender, Cain Farrell. Cain Farrell. Farrell. Mark's in Strathmore before we get a break. G'day, Marco.
All good.
tickled the wood. Sorry, Mark.
Probably had one of your best weeks, Tim. I think you've had 8 good questions and 2 great questions. So you've had a pretty good week, I think.
Thank you, Mark. But, thanks for keeping tally, too.
Yeah, I listen all day, every day, and the morning show's the best. The game last night, I think that the umpires are starting to clamp down on the holding, which is fantastic.
Yep.
And the one thing that they really need to look at is these backmen pushing forwards into packs, because somebody one day is going to get a serious injury. Like, what's his name? The Melbourne fullback.
May,
yeah. He's a regular at it. He pushes blokes into packs. And there was one that could have been really bad last night was the Geelong guy you were just talking about, the back guy. the young guy with the headband.
Yep.
Henry, yeah.
Henry, yep.
Yeah. There was one incident last night where he late pushed a guy into the pack and it could have been really dangerous.
Yeah, good call, Marco. You got to be careful with that. We don't want that. I think they will come down, if they see that, they come down pretty hard on anyone that, well, they should anyway, from that point of view.
Cain Ferrell.
We'll take a break. The conversation started for the
Is Kia. Is he related to Will?
Yep. Sorrento Drive Car of the Year. We'll continue to take your calls. Some other selection. I've got some great selection highlights I want to have a chat about. Some big names coming back into the team as well. So your calls. Fun Friday. Mark Bosnett, Sarah Jones and Johnny from Epping. Not far away.
Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Hand pass to Rosie, close to the boundary, outside of the boot, unbelievably good kick. Cain Ferrell. Port's always better with a cane, we've known that. But I don't know, I've seen a cane who can do that before in those colours.
Oh, wow. They sounded like they were having some fun in the box last night. That's Cain Ferrell kicking that unbelievable goal. Honestly, Gaz, what the hell would you know about the laws or physics, question mark? Can you state one of them for us off the temper text?
You want Newton's law?
Any? Off the top of your head,
law, Pascal's law, Hooke's law? What do you want? Which law do you want? I mean, the first law is an object is not going to change its motion unless a force acts on it. And the second law, the force of the object is equal to its mass times its acceleration, Wispy.
Well, you didn't waste your time at Melbourne High, did you?
Well, gee, Wiz, people we the best. What you've done in your life, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. No. They do not know that. Just a couple
Here's
of...
one. Yep. Geelong played with Port. Typical Vic crap. Had Butters, Dersma, Lysette, Cleary, Hartlett and Marshall... I'll see you in September, pussycats. That's from the one-eyed power man.
Them fighting words.
I love it.
They are Collingwood champ Mick McGowan. He's told RSN that he wouldn't be interested in the top job at Collingwood, so he's not interested in coaching Collingwood, but he would be interested in being part of their footy staff. This is what he had to say.
Oh, it just doesn't interest me. I'm more involved in the richness of local footy, what it provides, the dreams that come along with it. If the right person become available to coach the senior team and he asked me to be an assistant, that might be a different conversation.
There you go.
There you go. Would Dane Beams know whether or not the payout to him was paid inside the cap or outside the cap? Would he be aware of that? Because he has said, and I'll play it in a moment with Duane yesterday, that he and his... understanding is that he was paid outside the cap. Therefore, any suggestion that the money paid to Dane Beams led to the, you know, the calamity that was late last year with the moving on of Treloar and Stevenson, well, that's a nonsense. With that, if you but to believe Dane, let's have a listen to Dane Beams on Duano.
My situation was, I guess, caught up in that. And, you know, there was a lot of noise around that. And there was obviously people hearing what they were hearing and there was a few wires crossed. And anything that was sort of negotiated with me and my contract was, you know, outside the cap. So, you know, I actually had nothing to do with anything that sort of went on there. You know, the only thing that they probably lost with my scenario was a couple of early draft picks, which was unfortunate. As long as the truth transpired to people and communicated to people, and that's all you can really ask for.
Well, now,
Let's get an answer on this.
I don't know whether he would know, but we surely can find out today. That'll be followed up, and you can find out definitively.
I'm just texting somebody who I think will know, so I may have an answer for you in a moment. And look, Gary did not Google the laws or physics. Jeez. I'm sitting here. I'm watching him.
Unbelievable.
There was no Googling going on at all. That's just off the top of his head after... what was a very fine education that he received at Melbourne High.
Thank you, Tim.
Where did you sit in class? Up the front or up the back?
Depends on the subject.
Okay. Where did you sit in your physics classes? Up the front
right
or
right at the front.
Right.
Right at the...
Bolt upright?
Bolt upright, slap bang in the middle, Wispy.
Gary Lyon here today?
Who?
Gary Lyon. This is the roll call. Gary Lyon here today?
No, that one. You go, Leon? Leon? I was sitting there looking around. Gary Lyon. I go, Lyon? He goes, yes.
Yes, sir.
It was a very formal school, Wispy.
Was it?
More the old Melbourne High.
I'm glad I didn't.
Compared to St. Augustine's and St. Coleman's, where I came from, the old roll call was a very serious. Lyon.
Were they still giving the cane back in those days when you were there?
No, not the cane. I didn't see the cane. Hey, What about the ins coming back into footy? This is what's good about the game. This is what is good about the game. So Jai Newcombe gets his debut, and he was drafted in the mid-season draft.
Yep.
Will Day, who is, I think, might just turn out to be the best of last year's crop of debutants.
Great to have him back.
Maybe not better than Matty Rowell, who's in. Matty Rowell is back in.
Yes.
Ed Langdon's in for the Demons. Mason Cox is named on the extended bench. Not sure if he'll play. Kane Lambert's back in for Richmond. What about the West Coast Eagles? Oscar Allen, Duggan, Kennedy, all back.
Yeah, the big name. And Vardy they've brought back as well.
Yeah, and Brander.
Yeah.
So they've gone tall.
Huge.
I worry. They clearly don't. Worry about their balance of
tools. I know you do. I know you do. Any plan's better than no plan at all, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's their plan.
Yeah, 100%. Toby Green's back in. You've written a letter?
Yes.
What was in the letter?
It was purely confidential.
A private.
Oh, very private.
Sorry.
If you don't mind.
Sorry. Matty DeBoer.
How dare you even ask?
Oh, no, forgive me. Matty DeBoer and Toby Green, important players for that GWS side back in. Robbie Tarrant is back in for the Kangas and Jaden Stevenson. So there's some big names back in for footy this weekend.
Some really big names. And the Sydney Swans take on the Hawks tonight. Yeah. There's a big footy, big game on Sunday night too. I didn't realise this.
West Coast Richmond.
Yeah, West Coast Richmond. That's a big live game on Channel 7 straight after the news on Sunday night.
That's the one that got changed.
Massive.
That's the one that got changed so they could keep Richmond not having to go back to Melbourne. So they kept them in Sydney.
That's going to be fascinating, isn't it?
Mm.
Like what you've just outlined, the ins for the West Coast Eagles, they're going tall against... What you'd probably say about Richmond is the running power of Richmond is probably their greatest strength.
They're still well served in their back half to handle a tall forward line, though, aren't they? They've still got enough, you would think. Noah Bolter's become just, you can put him on anyone, Noah Bolter. So the Bolter-Allen matchup would be one you'd be paying money to go and see. That'll be a cracking game. Absolute cracker.
There you go. Some people out there still think that you've Googled
that. Come on, people. Peeps. 7-seat Kia Sorento has just been crowned Drive Car of the Year.